So he came out and asked me to come in and help him pack. We packed all suntans and things that he would use in Tokyo going to school. A week later, this commanding officer in Beppo called me and told me to pack all his fatigues and boots. And I said, Rogo, it was Captain Rogowski, but everybody called him Rogo. I said, Rogo, what do we want with all these fatigues if he's in Tokyo? He said, I can't answer that over the phone. And he says, as a matter of fact, you can answer that at all for them.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said, Michelle, for this was a sergeant in the outfit, would come by later, about an hour, he said, and pick up the fatigues and everything he told me to pack, I packed. And he's going to meet the train, and he'd also get the suitcase with the suntans in it and bring those back. And that I was not to put his clothes in a suitcase, I was to put them in a duffel bag. Just thump them in there.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And it was quite a while before I heard from them. They had a call for, you know, the guys that were in Korea would send money by a courier, you know, for their dependents. And I had no idea how I was going to get it. I knew he'd get it to me, but I didn't know how. And they had a call come to the officer's car, you know, the dependents. But it was the 24th, either the 19th or the 24th division. I think it was the 24th. No, it was the 19th in Japan. And I wasn't 19th, the granddad wasn't, he was counterintelligence, so I didn't go. But later, some friends of mine happened to be there, and they picked up money from me and brought it to me.
Hmm.
So, you know, but I finally got a letter from him, and he was in Korea. By then, I had suspected that anyway.
Yeah.
But one of the scariest things happened to me while granddad was over there. It was around 10 o'clock at night, and your dad had gone to bed, and I was listening to the radio on the phone line, and it was granddad. And he was in Korea. I could hear the guns. I could hear all that stuff in the background. We talked for like 5 minutes, and of course, you know, it was a head-oriented time, and that was great. But then, about a month later, the same thing happened. It was around 9, 10 o'clock at night. Your granddad called, and we got cut off, but I heard boom, and I thought, oh, Lord, he's been... I just knew he'd been killed. Because that, you know, it sounded like that fire was very close, and suddenly the phone went dead. But fortunately, the commanding officer in Kokura called me like that within 5 minutes or so and told me your granddad was okay, that he had just reestablished, you know, connections. But
yeah,
he couldn't get through, he couldn't patch him back into me for some reason. It had to do with the lines, but
yeah,
he did call me back and let me know that everything was okay.
But that was a relief.
You bet it was. I had started to walk the floor and bawling my head off when the phone rung, and I was never so happy to hear anything in all my life. So,
so tell me a little bit about Beppu.
Well, Beppu was the southernmost tip of Japan. It was warm climate. Something funny again about your dad. We had been given a house, but it was too small. Like when your granddad came back,
yeah,
after he put in his year or whatever in Korea. So we moved to a bigger house, and we were right on the bay, you know, which was nice. But the cabaret number one was next door to us. And, you know, the geisha girls that performed in that show, and they weren't dressed appropriately for my 6-year-old son. And his room faced that curtain, the cabaret. So I kept the curtains pulled, and I dared him to open them or even go near that window. Well, this night we had invited Captain Rogowski and his wife over to Quay Bridge with Granddad and me.
Yeah.
And they had a son, Kenny. That was about your father's age. I think Kenny was a year older. And they were upstairs, and I cautioned Jim again, you better not open those gates. So the kids went upstairs, and we were playing cards, and they both came down. We thought, came down. We heard them giggling coming down. And I looked at your dad, and I said, Jim, did you open those curtains? No. No, Mommy, no. And Marie said to Kenny, were you in that window looking out? No, Mommy. They had the whole print of the screen right down the front of their face. So, and I think that was in Beppu, I believe, was the first time your father went into Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. I think, I'm not too sure, but I think it was, because he was, you know, the age for that.
Yeah.
But he didn't stay in it for some reason at that point. Later on, when we were in Europe, Austria, he did for a while.
Okay.
But no, Japan was a great place, but it was really quite smelly. Because I got sprayed when I was in Kokura visiting a friend that had been shipped to Kokura. And we were all dressed, we were going in the Ginza, and I was looking for a tea set like she had gone. Then we had to go in the bus, and this little old lady was watering her garden. Big puff of wind came up, and it sprayed it. It was on the head, but all over the head, burned the head. So they dipped in the honey wells to,
yeah,
you know, do the garden. And I had to wear one of my friend's coats on, because it wasn't freezing cold, but it was cool enough, you know, for a lightweight coat. So I think I wore slacks and a jacket of hers. So I did another coat, though. But it was interesting over there. Of course, you had your officers' club, and there was the ladies' luncheons that you had that the wives have to attend, and all that good stuff. Committees, you almost have to be known at least one of it, if not more. So, but I got more involved in Austria than I did in Japan. I was involved enough in Japan, because just seeing the wives were supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so what? How did the Korea thing end?
Well, after Granddad's 13 months was up, he came back to Beppu, and about 6 months after that, our tour was up. As a matter of fact, they let us come home a little early. So we came back to the States, and I'm trying to think where we went from there. Oh, West Boston Mass. He was stationed in Boston, but he worked out of Worcester. Mm-hmm. And we rented a house in West Boston. And we were there almost a year to the day. And Granddad got orders for Lance Austria. So again, your dad and me, we get on a train, I think it was, headed back to Columbus, stay with my mom, so we got orders to go to, so we got our orders.
Yeah.
And that's when they made me fly, and I was a conscientious objector. Because I was the talk of the guest house, and that's my life. So, but I made it anyway. And then Granddad met us in Germany, and we drove from Germany to Munich, I think it was, to Lenz, Austria. I was in a hotel there for about a week or 10 days until we got housing.
Yeah.
In Austria. Now, Austria was much more interesting and cleaner than Japan. It smelled bad. I hated to come home from there. Austria was nice. And we did, your granddad and your dad and me, we took trips to Germany. We went to Berchtesgaden, saw Hitler's eagle's nest.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Königssee or something like that? Königssee, where all those nurses went. There was a spot where all the nurses sunk, died drowned.
Yeah.
And from there, we went to the chapel that they attended, you know. And I don't know, it was really interesting. And I was disappointed in Hitler's eagle's nest, because it was not, well, it was nothing like when Hitler was there.
Yeah.
They had all concession stands and, you know.
Yeah.
The only thing that I remembered seeing, you know, when you go to the movies, and their short subjects about the eagle's nest, was the bar that Hitler's girlfriend exercised on. They used to show that in the movies because there wasn't television at that time.
Yeah.
And you see that, well, that was still in the backyard. But other than that, there were restaurants and concession stands. And it was a dreary, rainy day. We were supposed to be able to see four other countries from way up there, but you couldn't that day. It was not the greatest day, but...
I remember he came back, Grandad came back with about four Nazi flags. Do you remember how he got those?
Four what?
Nazi flags. He has about four of them.
Oh, he got those while he was fighting war over there in Germany. I don't know how he...
Because there was one of them that still has the rope on it where it was cut down, and it has written down on the base of the flag in German that it was eagle's nest.
That was probably when he was there during the war.
Yeah. But I didn't know.
I remember the flags, but I don't remember him saying how he came by them. He didn't talk too much. Even like, you know, when he died. And we didn't put a whole lot of things in the paper, but some, the Purple Heart and all that, well, some of the things that we thought were important, his friends never knew that because he never told them. He just never talked about it.
We still don't know how or how he came by the Purple Heart, do we? Did we ever find out?
No, the only thing I can think of would be a very good reason for the Purple Heart was, I'm trying to remember where, there were five guys and his granddad was one of them. They were trapped. It was somewhere in Germany. They were trapped in this house for 5 days, 5 or 6 days. He tried to tell me about it in a letter after it was over. But, you know, the V-mail and the cutout book. So that letter, I got very little information because more was cut out than was left in. So that, I would think, would want a Purple Heart. They survived it. They got out of it. They weren't quite sure that they would, but... They did.
I just didn't know how he came about about this flag, because he's got one North Korean flag too, a little one.
Yeah, well, he probably got that. Yeah, when he went there to fight the war, but you know, he just never talked about that.
That's just good.
I remember the flags or something.
Yeah, because one of them is quite large, about 8 foot by about 6 foot, large flag, and it's not the New Reich, but it's just a swastika on it. I was tempted to take those to the class, but I thought better of it.
He kept sort of a diary. It wasn't a diary. It's a little book of that sort of told you what he did day by day by day. And I think that's still in there in the chest of drawers. I hadn't really thought about that. I think I haven't read it.
Yeah, but he's got some pretty interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, he had different places that he went. You know, every time he moved during the war, he's got that in this thing.
I'm going to cut this off.